Jackson, could you do like a little, could you run over to the door? We're going to fake it like it's an opening. Oh. And then what's going to happen is you're going to knock and be like, oh no, there's a knock at the cabin, but it's Jackson.
This is going to be funny.
Okay.
Hey, Danon, we're just sitting here right now.
It's just us, the two of us.
It's just us, the two of us in the studio. Was that a knock at the cabin?
Was that a knock at the cabin? Dave Bautista.
No, it's just me.
It was you.
It was you, Jackson, all along.
I was knocking at the cabin.
Oh, you're not Dave Bautista. Welcome back to Roomies Talking Movies, the next best stop for all things movie news and reviews. I'm your host, Danon, and joining with me today, as always, are my popcorn pals, Camden.
Hey.
And Jackson.
Hey.
Yesterday when we watched the movie, I had about half a bag of popcorn on my lap between the two of Camden and Jackson, grabbing the popcorn from the middle.
It's no one's fault.
It was almost exclusively Jackson, but it's no one's fault. When you're in the middle holding the popcorn bucket, you got to know that there's risks that come with it. Speaking of risks, this week we are back to review Knock at the Cabin and seeing if M. Night Shyamalan made another classic horror film, or if the twist is that it simply is just not a good movie. Hmm. But before we jump into that, we got more movie news than there is sins in the world. It's in the trailer, so I'm not really doing anything. But let's jump off to our new segment that we started at the beginning of our last season. If you haven't kept up, we are on season 9 right now, and now we decided to add a new segment because we thought this is what it needed. But so, you know, there's always spinoffs, additions to seasons, or just stops of shows and movies and all that. Well, welcome to Seconds and Stops. And no, Jackson, this is not the Golden Corral.
What?
Because the Golden Corral...
You can't get seconds. It's not a buffet.
Oh, yeah. I've only ever been to Golden Corral. What's like the environment like at the Golden Corral?
What do you imagine?
Okay.
It's probably more fun in gold.
Stop. No, that's... Stop, because I'm imagining first. You already know. You've been there.
No, I've never been there.
Okay, I want
How do you know then? Golden Corral.
It's called Golden Corral. Everything should be covered in gold.
I'm talking about the seconds thing, Jackson. How did you know that you get seconds at Golden Corral?
Because I know it's a buffet place.
How do you know that though? If you've never been, that doesn't make sense.
It's just like, have you been to Soup Plantation?
Yeah. And I know that's a buffet because I've been.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about now.
Yeah. See, he's never been. He doesn't know. Okay. Golden Corral. I feel like it's probably like in the shape of a horseshoe. So like you walk in, you're at the bottom of the horseshoe, and then the restaurant's like kind of like a half circle, right? Uh-huh. And then there's a lot of horses in there. It's really big.
Yes.
And it's a gold horseshoe.
It is amazing how close you were on that. Jackson, what's your guess on what the Golden Corral looks like?
I'm telling you, everything's covered in gold. It's like a dreamscape, you know? Something
dreamscape. You walk in, it's like
it's wonderful. I bet you.
Like, oh my God.
It's like the most delicious place you've ever been.
Okay.
But it's got to be expensive.
You're That's further off. It's cheap as and the food is like okay.
Do you
at best.
Guys want to go to Golden Corral after
I don't,
this?
I don't know. Where's the newest Golden Corral?
That's
Look it up.
That's a fantastic question.
Jamie, pull that up. So in Seconds and Stops, for Seconds, we got the 90s show, that Netflix continuation of the 70s show, picked up for season 2. We got a Kim Possible reboot rumored. Animated still, so that's good. But it's weird that it's a reboot and not a continuation, because if they're going to continue a bunch
of
stuff.
Is the Phineas and Ferb considered a reboot?
No, it's a continuation. It just had like 20 more episodes, like another season.
You know what, though? Because I feel like reboot is like a pretty broad term. I feel like it doesn't have to like if you're just like restarting the show, you could call it a reboot. Yeah. You know, like it could be the same exact show. You're just redoing it.
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's what we've seen in movies.
Yeah. Like, we rebranded Lois.
They're going to have at least one or two more seasons.
That I'm excited about.
One or two is a pretty big difference.
You know, I went back to the CW website recently because I was like, I should catch up on Superman and Lois. I'm still caught up.
Mm-hmm.
they haven't put out new content in a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see we're getting one or two more seasons.
But it was cool, especially when we jump into the DC news, hearing that this show is not only continuing, but it will have, even if it has only one more season, it knows that it's like when they're done filming this season, they'll have that continuation of this is the last season to wrap storylines up rather than a lot of CW shows where like you have three more episodes and they go, oh, what? So that's cool. We have King of the Hill, Jackson, your favorite cartoon.
I love
and
King
everyone
of the
in Japan's favorite American cartoon. It's getting a revival on Hulu.
Is that a thing?
Yes. If you want to look it up, everyone really, really likes King of the Hill in Japan, which is like,
people watch anime in the United States. Though.
Yeah. It's like KFC.
I'm just wondering, like, why that one?
don't know. Because Family Guy is,
Bobby.
Because Family Guy is isn't as funny as
Family
King
Guy's
of the
not
Hill.
As relatable, probably.
Yeah.
King of the Hill, I feel like, probably fits more American stereotypes that they can probably watch and be like, oh, I recognize that stereotype. You know?
Yeah. Speaking of Family Guy, the
Family Guy,
The Simpsons, and Bob's Burgers have all been renewed for 2 more seasons each. So rest easy.
Which
Cameron.
One is finishing first?
I'm sure Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
Because people aren't as vocally favorable towards that, but everyone who likes it actually likes it. And everyone who likes Family Guy is like, I watch the YouTube highlights.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched Family Guy Funny Moments number 136 the other day.
With the Subway Surfers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the, as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with
it's the only way I can really focus on the Family
comedy.
Guy. Yeah.
And with The Simpsons, like, you're like, why is the show still on? And then you watch an episode and you're like, I get it. Like, it's still well written, and it's like, you're like, I don't enjoy this. And you're watching, you're like, okay, I get why this is like 50 seasons. But those are our seconds. Now it's time for some stops. Jackson, you love Dr. Phil, right?
I do. He's my favorite bald person.
You can't like him anymore.
Wait, why are we talking about Dr. Phil in the stop section?
Because the Dr. Phil show is ending after 21 seasons.
No.
And that's not all.
No.
You think that's bad? You know that DC show that they made following Batman's butler, Alfred Pennyworth?
My favorite show, Pennyworth?
Yes, it's being canceled on HBO Max.
Oh my God.
This is the worst news I've ever gotten.
That's like the same show being canceled twice.
It's like the same caliber of show twice.
Wait, Dr. Phil, that's like a big deal.
Yeah.
21 seasons?
He's been getting old, no? That's probably not like because he's not getting views. Probably
he's sending
just
too many people
to
the ranch.
Yeah.
We're going to get you fixed up. You're going to the ranch.
No, don't take me to the ranch. They're pulling him out in a straitjacket.
You're going to the ranch. We're gonna straighten you out. You don't like the way plastic feels on your skin? We're going to straighten you out.
But I will say that Dr. Phil has a pretty iffy track record in terms of fixing people.
It was always
like
kind of like just like a very low on the bucket list goal of mine to be on Dr. Phil. Mm. And now I'm just never going to have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's just like really sad.
Yeah. So, but what you really miss your opportunity in not being like bat shit crazy and doing something. You know,
I eat garden gnomes.
Yeah. Like,
I feel like I could
that.
Probably, I could be back crazy before it gets canceled. Right. Like there's still like a whole season left.
I think they film it well in advance.
Oh
no,
man.
No. I thought it was filmed with the live studio audience.
Yeah. That doesn't mean it's filmed live.
No.
Now that we finished seconds and stops, let's move on to this insane amount of news that isn't Marvel, DC, Star Wars, or any nerdy
stuff.
It is
Disney.
It's Disney. We're on to news. Percy Jackson is wrapped filming for Disney Plus, which is exciting. I think that's going to be one of those series that, like, if it picks up, we'll see
it's
it for a long
be so
time.
Good.
But if they f it up, it will be 5 years and then we'll get another one.
They're not. I don't think they can f this one up. I don't think they can.
I didn't think they'd f a live action Pinocchio movie and they did, so I'm not shocked.
No, you knew that they could f that up. They f every live action remake they do of their classics. This
not
is different.
True.
They have Rick Riordan, like, he's like there, he's involved with it. He wasn't really involved with the movies, so like that's better.
This is the Mandalorian equivalent of the Percy Jackson books, where George Lucas just sits on set and goes, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we'll keep it in, George. We're cutting that post. I hope they do that to Rick Riordan. He's like, I actually think it'd be interesting if this character did this. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Who the f- does this guy think he is?
You know what's that monument that's the big arch?
The St.
Louis arch.
You know how Percy jumps off of that in one of the books?
Of
into
course.
The water?
Spoilers.
So apparently when he wrote the book, Rick Riordan thought that the water was a lot closer to that monument than it is in real life. It's apparently like hundreds of feet away. And so
it's gonna be
I wonder if in the TV series, are they just going to have him go like, poof, just like hundreds of feet into the water?
He's
like,
going to torpedo off the St. Louis into the water.
That'd be pretty cool.
But enough about this menial news, all that news that we
all
had
that, that was so much news. I'm really glad
I'm
that
exhausted.
You guys made it through. Because
Jackson.
I almost
Jackson.
Didn't.
It's time for DC news.
Oh.
Now, DC has been a shake in the cage, as they say, because they've just announced something called a plan. But before we jump into that, Colin Farrell, I wanted to let us know that the Penguin series will be 8 episodes.
Okay, why do I care, Colin Farrell? Why did he come onto our script, write that piece of news down?
I don't know. He seems like a lovely gentleman, though. It was weird
it
that
just
he
feels like we have
wanted,
more important things to be talking about.
He wanted to talk
and
about
Colin
himself.
Farrell was like, hey, guys.
No. Let's hear him out. All right. Penguins are pretty adorable animals. I'd like to see 8 episodes of them.
Now, Jackson, you do know they're talking about the fictional crime boss, Oswald Cobblepot.
What?
His name is Oswald Cobblepot.
Is his name actually
No
Oswald?
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah, why did they make the stupidest villain? Oh god.
No, but right, doesn't he not look like an Oswald?
Calls himself the Penguin. He uses an umbrella gun. This is good.
I don't know what the f- you were about to say, but this is good. No, because like in the Batman, he's like, I'm Oz. And you're like, oh, that's cool. But if someone's like, my full name is Oswald.
It just sounds like something straight out of Dungeons and Dragons.
Cobblepot.
Sounds like a
gnome. You guys know the Oswald the Octopus?
Yes.
He's so cute.
I thought it was Oslo. Is it Oswald?
I thought it was Oswald.
No, I'm not. It might be Oslo. You probably know Oswald.
Oswald. No, it's Oswald.
Okay, cool.
Oslo is in Norway.
Oh, I confuse an octopus with a place.
Yes. As you do.
But James Gunn was like, all right, ripping the Band-Aid off on this B word. I'm going to announce the first chat.
James Gunn told everyone he would announce it in January, and then James Gunn waited until January 31st. Don't give this guy any credit.
So wait, technically.
No, I mean, he didn't lie.
He didn't lie. He really didn't specify.
That truth.
So then he's like, yeah, it's going to happen.
Because most people say, you know, late January is what people would say if you meant late January.
But, yeah, you know, whenever people usually are announcing DC projects for the first chapter of the DCU, when they say, they normally say late January. They don't lead you on. But we have ourselves a little graphic so I can read all the release dates and everything and I can actually make sense of this. But don't you wear your pretty little heads. This timeline is going to be watertight. So you're like, if this new chapter of the DCU is going to be happening, what are we going to do with all these old projects? Shut up. Shazam is coming out this year.
Okay.
And it's going to still be in March and everything like that. Very excited. It's going to be fun. Still going to be connected because Shazam has never really fully interacted with any characters beyond his film.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Superman is in that film. Henry Cavill's Superman.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question because the next thing we're talking about is The Flash, and I don't want to talk about this long just because I don't know. So for those of you who don't know, there's been some more leakage of what this movie is going to be, and it's been confirmed with James Gunn's announcement that this will fully restart the new DCU. So before when we're like, oh, I wonder if the ending will be like a soft reboot. No, this is a full-on Flashpoint. And James Gunn is like, some characters will remain the same, some will be recasted. So the ones being recasted are Batman and Superman.
The ones being recasted are the ones that James Gunn didn't directly work on, and the ones that are staying are the ones he did.
As everyone else. Gal Gadot, Jason Momoa, Ezra Miller, and Zachary Levi all still have like the open...
Yeah, like it's like they could, but will they? We don't know.
Yeah, I think it's really... I think they need to figure out what they're doing with Ezra first, because otherwise the ending won't make any sense of the Flash running out and it's still Ezra.
And I think that they need to recast Gal Gadot because the fact that they're having the actors play them in live action and animation, there's no way she can voice someone in animation. She can barely voice herself in live action.
Well, remember Ralph breaks the internet? Okay, good point. And then at the end of The Flash, universe reset. Oh, as we like to call it, the second Big Bang. It's not a good name, but it's what happens. Then we have Blue Beetle later this year, which he confirms will take place within this universe, which I'm like, good.
Yeah, that would be stupid.
That's a good-looking costume. This is a great-looking cast. I just hope that they follow through with it because I think they'll have a lot to play with, especially with James Gunn's, like, attention to like, oh, these characters that exist in like the 40s kind of like mentality. He could reference the first Blue Beetle and all that. That could be fun. Then we got Aquaman. It releases on Christmas.
Whoa.
Merry Christmas movie.
Merry Christmas, Aquaman.
Because this movie got delayed almost an entire year, right?
I think over a year.
Do you think they're going to change it to like be based around Christmas? Or do you think it's just going to release on Christmas and have nothing to do with it?
It's going to have nothing to do with Christmas.
Well, Avatar 2 came out during Christmas and no one was like, where's the Christmas movie?
Also, what's the thought process releasing movies on Christmas? You really think people are going to be like, ah, those were some good present opening. Let's go see a movie.
Jackson, you'd be shocked.
I don't think it's the worst idea in the world because like there are no a lot one's of people working. Who don't celebrate Christmas, you know, and then they also have the day off, right?
Yeah, Jackson, think.
So maybe don't be racist next time, Jackson. How about
that? Towards people who celebrate Christmas.
That's on me. I'll work on that.
But we remember, this might have been a year ago when we started talking about this. Remember how we're like Ben Affleck showing up in the Aquaman movie and all that. So now I wonder if there will be a point in this movie where it's like No Way Home, where there will be other characters. Aquaman will be halfway through his movie. The Flash resets everything, and he still has to finish his movie with the new features and him like piecing it together. I think that could be a really interesting thing. Like, he goes back, Ocean Master's played by a different guy, and he's like, whoa, what the hell? But everything else is the same for him. I think that could be cool. Probably just going to be an Aquaman movie, but still their highest grossing movie they've ever made. So I don't know what to talk about.
I've never seen Aquaman.
Let's move on to chapter... I've never seen Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
It was like
That's so weird. Why have I never seen Aquaman?
I don't know. It's like, it's like good. Oh my God. Then that's how they could recast for Mera.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I just.
They had this planned out from the trial.
Hey, we thought they knew. They're like, we'll wait for Aquaman till post, post just in case. Then we have the chapter one titled a la Gods and Monsters, which is weird because Batman's on here and he's not a god. So,
Well, you know,
he's a monster.
It could be a monster.
First off, confirmed in this is that we will have some series and shows that will all make up the chapter, similar to how Marvel did Phase 4. But unlike Marvel, they'll have animated series along with that featuring our first one, Creature Commandos, which is like a Suicide Squad-esque group of people who have like monster features like Weasel, Frankenstein, and a few other people. But the leader of that is Rick Flagg Sr., which is Rick Flagg's dad. And what they confirmed is that any character who's voiced in the cartoons will most likely be the actor who's playing them in live action and vice versa. Whereas, like, we saw that with What If, kind of. But then whenever the guy playing Tony Stark, he's like, we could put a suit of armor around the world. And you're like, that's not our DJ.
Yeah.
So I think for the most part, they're going to try to stick to that, which will be cool. We got Waller, an in-betweeny of Peacemaker Season 1 and Season 2. And then he kind of said the reason why this is even a show is because he has not written Peacemaker Season 2 yet, which I'm like, fine, but maybe have more of a reason for that.
Yeah.
But I think it's still going to be cool.
I don't really want the Waller show.
Yeah. We'll see. Viola Davis is still Amanda Waller, which is like great. If you're bringing anyone back, bring back Viola Davis. But Jackson, aren't you sick of this stuff? Don't you want to get into the movies?
No, I mean, I think we could stick in the live action series. Which I don't know why they segmented it off.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
These are kind of like beforehand. Like they don't.
It's in order, I think, right?
Yeah, but it's just how it
works. So we're getting Creature Commandos first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. We'll see. Jackson, don't you want a Superman movie?
Actually, yeah.
Superman Legacy, July 11, 2025.
Wow. That's right after my birthday, guys. Birthday present, birthday. Superman movie.
What if it sucks?
That would suck for my birthday.
I'm a little worried just because, like, you know, James Gunn was like, I'm halfway through writing this and I love Superman. And it's coming out in 2 years and he has an exact date for it. It just seems scary, you know?
Hey, but if we scroll up a little bit to this reset... they have not stuck to the release dates very often, so I wouldn't be shocked.
No, I get that. That's why I'm like, I don't think that it's going to be ready on time, and I think it's.
I think it will. I think that it's not going to be that good. I think I'm going to be disappointed in the actor. I don't think I'm going to be disappointed in the story. You know what I mean?
They're going to have to pick someone who can fully like carry the role of Superman,
right? Like
when you have someone like Henry Cavill. Who just is a giant wall of muscle. You're like, that's Superman. I'm not even questioning that.
Right.
If you get like a smaller guy, it's not the dude's fault.
Well, he's trying to pick someone around like, what, 25, he said?
Better be a jacked 25-year-old.
Okay.
Wait a minute,
so
guys.
I have
hear
four
me
years
out.
To get jacked, right? Yep. Jackson. Yeah.
Well,
Jackson. You could play Superman.
They're probably going to start recording.
The podcast?
So they're going to start recording like at the end of the year.
Excuse me. Yeah, I was gonna say they're probably
so you have till the end of the year to get jacked. Do a shit of steroids, Jackson. You'll get there.
That's true.
Actually, you have the hair. You have the eyes.
You have the glasses when you're Clark Kent. Did you say eyes like as in a characteristic? Okay. Anyways,
all right. Where can I find some anabolic steroids?
I got some right here.
Speaking of anabolic steroids, the next thing we have is a live action series on HBO Max, Lanterns. Which, if you're confused, this follows the Green Lanterns,
but multiple,
but also other lanterns.
Yeah.
So it's got Hal Jordan and John Stewart. They're both watching over Earth. Something happens. Bum, bum, bum. They got to figure out what it is. It's pretty much, this is going to lead into the equivalent of Loki and the Avengers. Like, they figure out the first big threat of the DCU. I hope they go Darkseid right off the bat, and then they just have to go, and here's Ultron. They just copy Marvel at the villains. Then we have Authority, which is one of those things where it's like it wasn't originally DC Bottom, and then they fit them into the timeline. This is like a group of heroes it's like seven super powered beings, and they were like a Justice League before the Justice League. The only guy I know is Dr. Midnight. He's like Batman, but he's gay, so he's a better Batman, I think.
Hmm.
Do you think that he's going to try and make the Authority like a well-known group like he did Guardians of the Galaxy? Like, is he just like, I was good at that before. I'm going to do it again.
I think he's going to, I don't think that's going to be his intention of like, the Authority is going to be a big thing. But if the audiences go, oh, I love the Authority, he'll be like, yeah, here's three more of them.
I don't know. I just feel like he's going to like latch onto them rather than the Justice League.
I hope so.
You think so? You hope so?
No. Do you like Wonder Woman?
Yes.
I didn't like the hesitancy in that statement.
The first one.
No. You don't like at all? Okay. Well, we're doing a prequel series called Paradise Lost, which takes place on Themyscira.
Great.
But the weird thing is they took out the interesting character of Wonder Woman. And so I don't know if we're even going to follow her mom or just a bunch of people, Amazonians.
I don't like the logo on this one. Yeah, it just looks like a PE logos? And everything else.
Some yes, some no. Like Creature Commanders and Waller, yes. Some of these,
like,
I don't know
if Batman the Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, this is a bad bat symbol if it is. Speaking of that, we're getting a Batman movie, not Ben Affleck. We're getting Batman the Brave and the Bold, which follows Batman training his son. Dick Grayson? No.
Nope.
Tim Drake?
Nope.
No. Jason Todd? No.
Nope.
Damian Wayne? Yes. And you're like, well, if they're going to that Robin, that means that the other like Robins already exist, right? And then he goes, we're just going to have a fully established Bat family. And you're like, okay, that kind of seems like you jumped to the part rather than writing to where the characters have that connection. But what are you going to do?
I mean, like, we have no idea where we're jumping in the storyline. You know,
maybe he's a baby and he's training a baby how to be Robin.
Yeah, he's like, take this knife and stab this guy. And then he punts the baby, and Damian Wayne is exiled for not being good enough.
Yeah,
I think that's what I would think. But I would like to point out that I don't remember how long ago it was, but we were all talking about what we want to see most in the DC universe, and I was like, Robin, we're finally getting a Robin. So
Jack,
at the very
least, that. What did I say?
I don't remember.
You want? I don't.
I only. Could you? I'm very self-centered, and I only remembered what I specifically said.
I thought you said you wanted like a good Superman movie.
Well, we'll
see.
That
does sound about right. What did you say you wanted, Dana?
I said I wanted the question, but I'm not getting that anytime soon. Speaking of obscure characters, we have Booster Gold, which I'm very excited.
We got the Chris Pratt movie, where he's going to cast Chris Pratt.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
You think he's going to be Chris Pratt?
He's going to cast Chris Pratt.
I would... That's not the worst casting.
Because someone was like, are you just going to cast all the Guardians people? And he was like, well, if they're good fits for the roles, then yeah.
Booster Gold. And then there's
Booster Gold, who's just a...
If they're going to do a younger Superman, they're probably going to try to do a younger Booster Gold. But I think it'd be funny if Booster Gold was like a 40-something-year-old, and he's like, I'm a superhero too. Where are you from? Not the future. What?
Yeah.
But I'm excited for that. It's going to be a series, so that'll be good. Did you say Supergirl, Jackson?
Not this episode.
Supergirl is getting her very own movie called Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. I'm very excited for that.
I have issues with all these titles. Like... Uh-huh. Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. Pick one, you know?
That's a good point, Jackson.
I think, I think maybe Supergirl is her title, she's a woman.
I get that.
Well, I get it.
It just sounds like when you think about it, to me, it's
Supergirl,
stupid.
Woman of Tomorrow. Yeah, it does.
I also think it contradicts itself. A lot of these titles are just really like, I don't like them. Like Superman Legacy. What does that mean?
Jackson, I'm going to let you in on something. So you know how sometimes in the Marvel movies and shows and stuff like that, like Captain America Winter Soldier, you're like, why is it called that?
Because there's Winter Soldier.
No, because there's a comic storyline called the Winter Soldier.
Oh, is
Superman
there a
Legacy, there's a comic storyline. Batman Brave and the Bold storyline. Woman of Tomorrow storyline.
Yeah, but then we get like Aquaman, the Lost City of Atlantis.
You could clearly see that there's no connection between these two in terms of creative writing.
I get that. I'm just saying like the titles are kind of lame. Like, The Lost Kingdom. That's so
cliche. I don't
disagree
with you, Jackson.
No, Jackson, I think they could have tried a little harder. I thought the whole part of the first movie was that he found The Lost Kingdom and he got the Triton. There's a second Lost Kingdom?
Yeah, apparently.
We need to keep better track of the kingdoms. Finally, ending off chapter one, Gods and Monsters. Had a lot of gods. Where's the monsters? Save them all for last. Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing.
I don't think a single person is not happy that this thing's happening just because it'll be cool. We saw Man-Thing in Werewolf by Night, and you're like, okay, I could do a whole thing of this. So you make it like kind of horror-like. You just fully go gruesome. Also, they confirmed that all these will be PG-13 or R. Cool. Like those are the two they're rocking with. So it's cool to know that they're like, we'll go either or, whatever best fits the character and the director.
Yeah.
Which will help them stand out more so than Marvel going like, it'll be PG-13, but maybe a hard one this time. So... It's nice to see that they'll have the creative freedom of that. And he said, beyond the base storyline of connecting them, he really wants each individual project to have the feel of the creative team behind it more so than a print and press. And you're like, well, who's he referencing? We know who he's referencing. But that's not all. They also confirmed that any film beyond this timeline, don't get worried, the Batman and the two people who like the Joker, I'm kidding, I'm the one of the two people who don't like the Joker, DC Elseworlds will be where you can find all these projects. Anything that takes place or they do want to do a one-off. So if we do get that John Constantine sequel with Keanu Reeves, going to be in DC Elseworlds, things like that. What's already in Elseworlds, we have Joker, the Batman, Joker Folie à Deux. Thank God we have another year before that comes out. I can prep myself a little bit more. We have the Batman Part 2, which is confirmed to have a release date of October 3rd, 2025.
It's cool.
I know. I just wish it was sooner. I know the movie just came out. Like,
literally just came out.
I know. It came out last year. But
3 years is a quick turnaround. Really,
and then
quick.
We have Teen Titans Go. It's amazing that the show's still going on.
I'm surprised, but I think it's a big hit with the kiddies, you know?
With the kiddies.
Also, I've seen clips. You know, they seem to have fun with it.
Oh, yeah. I bet the cast is just enjoying it. They're like,
this is really funny, though. It says everything else is like film, live action series, animated series, or a release date. And then Superman and Lois just says the CW.
Yeah. Well, this is the only CW show left.
Yeah. The Survivor.
It's crazy.
For one or two more
seasons. Oh, my God.
The
Flash comes out this month.
And, yay! I
mean, like the series.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about, and I was like, no.
What did you think I was talking about?
The movie.
Oh.
And I was like, man, no, it doesn't.
The Flash comes out this week.
I didn't want you to be confused. Okay?
I was not confused. What were you saying, Jacqueline?
I was going to say James Gunn didn't say anything about his plan for video games, but what he did say is that the video games would cover stories between films, I believe. So that's something, I guess.
That could be really interesting in terms of like, you know, like whatever they do, Batman, Brave and the Bold, and then they go Batman, Owl, the Court of Owls or something like that. They could have like an Arkham-style game of like, you get all those characters voiced by those actors or like sound-alikes, and you could play the things. I think they have an awesome opportunity if they set it up right.
Yeah.
Because it could very easily fall apart and feel disconnected.
What do you rate this?
This total layout we have of Chapter 1, excluding DC Elseworlds and the Universe Reset, I give this like I'll give this like an 8 out of 10. I think there's a lot of like clear, interesting premises they have with Lanterns, Booster Gold, and Swamp Thing. And the movies they've decided to follow, I'm very interested with the big three that they have. The Authority I'm a little confused on. And then the back three of Waller, Creature Commandos, and Paradise Lost I'm going to need to be convinced on. But what they have announced, I'm like, yeah. What about you, Jackson?
I'm scared just because I don't know much about DC. And a lot of these things are like brand new to me. And I understand like... At some point, you have to like bring in the new characters, but it seems like he's trying to do that with a lot of things. So just like as someone who doesn't know much about DC, besides like the stuff that we've already been shown, it's a little intimidating. But he could probably pull it off. I don't know.
I'm a James Gunn hater. I have a James Gunn hater over here. I think he's done something. I don't know what it is. Hasn't come out yet. I think he's done something, though. We were talking about this on the way over.
No, you were talking about this to me. I do not.
Okay, so we were having a conversation then, dude. That's how talking works.
It
kind of
sounds like it was one way.
Oh, my God. No, it's fine.
What do you rate this out of this?
7.
What do you
think
he was
doing? Wait, why didn't you give a number, Jackson? You just said you were scared.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm really scared. I'll give it a 7. I just want to stick with it.
But don't pick something because you're scared. We'll be upset.
But I don't like James Gunn's mentality that he clearly has, which is my stuff is untouchable and my stuff is perfect. Because I think that if you're going to do a full universe reset, you need to do the full universe reset. There's so many people who are upset about like the big characters going away. And then you're going to keep like small, weird things like Peacemaker and Amanda Waller, you know, like all because you made it. It seems very... one-sided.
I'm also interested to see how they're going to go like, oh, right. All this team is completely unchanged.
Exactly.
From
and we all remember exactly what happened from the previous universe because the only way you can do it is like, oh, we're in a new universe. Or you can't like, they're not going to have the memories of the old universe.
They need to have one or two characters remember the past and then that could set up a big like crisis on Infinite Earths thing.
It's going to be like Peacemaker.
It's going to be
which
Peacemaker.
Which is stupid.
Which is the dumbest part. Peacemaker's gonna be like, I have to warn the Justice League, and you're like this man
it feels like
kills.
Instead of James Gunn making a DC universe, he's like, this would be fun for me to make, like I'm gonna have fun making these. It won't necessarily be the best for the longevity of the DCU.
I don't know what other projects he's attached himself to also.
It sounds like all of them. He has not like specified that we have like, he's basically said, I'm writing this one. I've started to think about this one. In his thing, he didn't say like, oh, we hired a great writer or we hired, you know, that's the other thing I'm worried about.
I feel like we talked about this before. How like he didn't have like a diverse like writing room or something.
Yeah, something
right?
like that.
And we were like, we think that maybe he should ask other people for opinions and not just
just be an echo chamber of himself. Yeah.
What can be good though is because there's so many projects he might not be able to do it and he'll have to start going.
Yeah,
like,
well obviously there's no way he's gonna write every single one of these. But it just seems like
we know he's writing Superman Legacy, which is the first one coming out. And
he just needs to be in a position like Kevin Feige, and I think it's gonna take this first chapter for him to realize he needs to be more in the backgrounds in terms of, because Kevin Feige like executive produces every single Marvel project. That's because he shows up like one week for filming and goes, you need these three
things. Kevin Feige doesn't direct.
No, he doesn't. He goes,
James Gunn is directing Superman.
And writing.
And writing Superman.
So it's
that's
like,
a lot. Like,
interesting
that's,
to see.
Yeah.
But we will see when the DCU, also we should be getting some trailers from Super Bowl next week. So that'll be cool with like the Flash and things. Yeah. So maybe we'll get some pieces. Huh?
I love some pieces.
We'll get some pieces. Well, you know what I love? Pizza's here. No, I'm kidding.
Dude.
Knock at the Cabin. That's the movie we were talking about this week. And I, for one, kind of have to sneeze. So could one of you give me a little plot synopsis?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you a little plot synopsis without trying to give away too much. I'll just, you know, give away what was in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
A nice family. Andrew, Eric, and Wen. A nice nuclear family. It's not a nuclear family at all. They go for a nice vacation in the cabin in the woods. When the young girl is approached by a strange man who tells her that their family is going to have a very important decision to make coming up. And later in the trailer, so I'm not giving away too much, this strange man, whose name is Leonard, reveals that they are there to prevent the apocalypse. And this family plays a key role in preventing the apocalypse. This movie is based off of The Cabin at the End of the World by Paul Tremblay very closely. So if you've read that, probably don't need to see the movie.
You probably shouldn't see them.
Should I give more away? Like, I don't really know. Like,
the only thing that they do reveal in the trailer is that, like, in order to prevent the end of the world, one of you has to die. And then,
I didn't know if that was
no. He like says that, and then you go, "What?" And I go, "What?"
Right. Obviously, there's more.
There's more nuance to that.
You know, not just one of them has to die, but that's your basic general plot there,
Jackson. Let's jump into some characters. And our first character we have here, Daddy Eric, played by Jonathan Groff, also known as Kristoff from Frozen.
Oh, Kristoff from Frozen.
Yeah, that's how you recognize his voice exclusively.
Yeah, I do remember his voice exclusively for sure. He was fine. Both the parents were good. I think they were good actors. Personally think they chose the wrong movie.
I think one of the best parts about this movie was the relationship between the two dads. I think that was like the better written part of it. It felt very real and it felt like very important to the story. Yes. You know, like it felt like their relationship was kind of like you could experience like their emotions through flashbacks to their relationships. Like you could see like a lot of like parallels between like their past and like what was happening to them then. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I thought that the dads were like part of the standout of the movie, actually. I thought they both did really well.
And they complement each other very well because Eric is a very soft-spoken, trying to understand what's going on.
Right.
Whereas Andrew is like, this is all crazy. Please, like, leave or I will physically harm you. I thought that they both played well off of each other. And I think that lots of staring and crying.
Yeah.
A lot there of is. Staring and crying.
It wasn't their fault. They did a great job.
Yeah,
the fact that they
could
do that
actors.
Multiple times.
I think the only like issue with these two is like they were limited in the movie, but that's mainly because of the plot of the movie.
They picked the wrong movie. It's like
it's hard for it's hard to act when you're like in one location the whole time and like it's like the same scenario the entire movie.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Not a lot.
And I mean that's not really on them. I think that's a little bit of the.
But like, let's say when we hit the climax, though, I felt like Andrew, his acting during that whole thing was awesome. Like I thought he like really carried that back half there.
Yeah. Very, very.
And then Jonathan Groff had a really good singing moment, so that was cool.
Yes, there's one part where they're singing in the car. It's in the trailers. That's the best part of the movie. Sorry to spoil it.
He hits a riff. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. I'm like, is this guy? Oh this guy God. Should
That's
go on Broadway.
This guy should Jonathan go voice Kristoff from Frozen.
Frozen. And then Daddy Andrew, again, great
played
character.
By Ben Aldridge.
He's great massive, acting. Actually.
What?
Matt, like,
he's massive, actually. Sorry, I don't know. I was just like sitting in the theater, and he was just...
I was just built. Like, damn.
Like, oh my God, Daddy Andrew. Like, some wow. Muscles.
Yeah, I was just kind of... I'm sorry. I was in my own world, I guess, for a second, because I didn't fully register what you were saying.
I mean, do you disagree?
No, I don't. He is massive.
Yeah.
But, we also have their lovely adopted daughter, Wen. One of the better child actors.
Actually, not bad. You know, I am a very harsh critic of child mm-hmm. actors. You know, I've noticed there's this constant theme, all right? Child actors in horror and or like psychological horror movies mm-hmm. for some reason always seem to do good. I guess children can express fear way better than they can express joy singing with a crocodile, you know?
Okay, first of all, that kid wow. is a great child
I just
actor.
Don't think so.
And the fact that he can sing at the end with Lyle and they're doing Show
That's
Us
incredible.
What You Got,
you know
and he
it.
Does that insane riff, that challenges Jonathan Groff's riff in this riff. We are getting sidetracked about the child actor from Lyle and Crocodile. Anyways, Wen does great.
Wen had one bad line, one I must say, yeah, at the beginning of the movie.
At the very beginning.
It was. I looked at Dana and I was like, Jackson's going to have a problem with this child actor.
When she was throwing a tantrum as well, like I couldn't understand anything she was saying. Like I wanted a little bit more articulation. Yeah, but like, what is she screaming
about? She was
about?
Screaming her show. Like she wanted to see her show.
Yeah, Jackson, you're like, I figured that out towards the end, but then like,
was that the twist for you? That was figuring twist. Out what she was talking yeah, about. Was no, but another great character. We have the I think standout performance of this movie. We mm-hmm. have Leonard, played by David Batista. It's Dave Batista. David Batista. I don't think David. It's David.
I don't even know if his full name is David.
Yeah, Dave Batista, who plays Leonard. He's the one who's in all the trailers and you're like, is that Dave Bautista? It is. And he goes, we are here to prevent the apocalypse. And he says that a lot in the movie, but he's great. A lot of foil to it. A lot of complex kind of grappling situations he has to deal with both mentally and also physically. Mm-hmm. Really fun kind of character to watch. And he's a good actor, I think. I think this is, if you were concerned about him maybe not being able to carry himself, this is a great movie to show that he's a good actor because he doesn't switch, but he's like, you could tell what his choices in every single scene. Like when he talks to Wen, he talks like he's someone who understands how to talk to children. And when he's speaking to the adults, he's trying to like convey the message as like clear as possible.
Right.
Yeah. The scariest part about the movie is how normal every of the like four people that like came to the cabin are like, right. Like how they can talk to Wen so calmly mm-hmm. and just be like, oh, let's catch grasshoppers. That like adds to the intensity, at least in the beginning. I feel like it sort of loses it towards the end. But. Yeah.
But Dave Bautista, great job. And then I just marked down the other three.
Adrian Redmond and Sabrina.
And I called them as the nurse, the cook, and Ron Weasley.
Ron Weasley's in this movie.
Ron Weasley is Redmond.
Yes,
movie.
Which is funny because he also has red hair, so it's like I got
it's like,
it.
Oh my, like the red guy,
and he wears a red shirt too. So I was like, oh yeah.
They each played their role very well, I think.
Yeah,
like they served a purpose in the film, I guess.
Yeah,
some more than others.
Some definitely more than others, but we'll talk about that in what works and what doesn't work. But
acting was really good.
Acting was good for
I thought.
Yeah. Like regardless.
Nikki Amuka Bird was Sabrina.
Yeah.
I see her in a lot of stuff. She's really good.
Really good.
She's a very good actress.
Really good. But also, I don't know if I've seen the cook in a movie before. Adrian?
I feel like I recognize her. I don't know from what.
I don't know if this is like her first outing or not, but
it's Abby Quinn.
She did a great job.
She's in anything?
I do. Because I was thinking, I was like, I think I've seen her before, but I don't know from what.
Anything.
And I didn't look it up.
Better Call
one
Saul?
Episode of Better Call Saul.
And that's it?
I mean, there are a lot of stuff, but not stuff I don't think you guys would recognize. Bumblebee, maybe.
Oh, the movie?
Yeah,
that has John Cena in it.
In a deleted scene.
Fuck! Okay. No, but I got... So this is like one of her first big outings in like a starring role, which I thought...
Right. There's only like one thing where she was in the main cast.
Great job.
In a
I think
TV
she did
series, so... Yeah.
I think she did a great job in this as well. Everyone really stands out. Mm-hmm. Let's get into what works. The acting... every character conveys a lot of emotion, a lot of complex thoughts very well in this movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hesitancy in every statement, but you're not sure why. And that adds to the suspense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, especially with Leonard, this unnatural calming presence of like the world is going to end if you cannot cooperate with us is right. like weirdly threatening, but there's no like I'm gonna hurt you if something happens. He's just like, you need, this is your choice, you need to do something.
Yeah. I forgot what I was gonna say. I don't know.
I personally don't have anything past the acting.
Oh, I remembered now. Hmm. I have something that's what works and also delves in a little bit into what doesn't work.
Piece?
Because, well, I think there's a little bit more about what works, but this is, I'm talking about the camera work in this movie. I think M. Night Shyamalan really like tried to make it like horror movie. There's a lot of close-up shots on
diagonal
people's faces.
Shots.
A lot of like uncomfortable shots, like the diagonal shots, or like someone will be in like the bottom corner of a frame. I think he utilized them really well, but then I think it starts to go into what doesn't work when it wasn't too much, but it started to be used poorly. There was one shot of Redmond where it's one thing to like misframe someone purposefully and make it feel uncomfortable because something else is in focus. Because like when you do that and you put a window in focus, you're like, oh my God, is something going to pop up the window? Yeah. Is something? It was just like a poorly framed shot. Yeah, it was almost like they were like filming like The Office and like they accidentally like didn't frame them properly. Yeah. And I was like, what is happening here? There were a couple like cinematography things where I was like, interesting choice there.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought it was actually pretty interesting visually to look at.
Yeah. Overall, I thought the premise was a really interesting thing. And for it being only like an hour and a half, hour 40 minutes, it was able to kind of use its time fairly well with that. I was almost like, this feels like something that could be stretched out, but it might be even worse if you do stretch it out.
Yeah, I don't think it needed to be. I feel like it, I think there were some areas that maybe like 2 hours might have been decent for it.
Yeah,
you know,
but,
like an extra 20 minutes or
but
something.
I think with what we saw, I really did enjoy the elements of that. And Jackson, since you said there's nothing else, let's jump into what doesn't work. I think you'll have something to say in that.
I think this movie suffered from not sticking to the genre, right? It's a psychological horror, but at no point in the movie did I feel like there was any real stakes. Like I wasn't, I don't know. It's just the whole premise, you know, while interesting, it was very predictable. And I knew that in the end, everything was going to be fine. And that
going into this movie, they give you two endings, right?
Yeah.
There's only two endings. And in either of those two, in the perspective of the characters, it's a good ending, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they'll probably be fine either way.
And, you get to know about these characters, but you don't particularly, at least in my opinion, you don't feel crazy attached to any of them with the information you're given.
Like, there was some, really good, homosexual commentary for some reason. It was like, why? Okay, interesting to just throw that in the movie, like when they were adopting Wen and they were like, oh, this is my wife's brother, she couldn't make it. You were like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Weird that it's in this movie. Yeah.
Nice detail. Isn't the world ending? I just feel like no, I think I agree with that, Jackson, in terms of a lot of characters. And the weird thing is, not a large cast, but it's interesting to see how with what they use, they could have done different things with it to make you care about some of them more. And the only reason I feel like we fully gravitate towards Leonard is because we spend the most time with him beyond the other families.
Yeah.
And so you have those additional, you see how this is affecting him. Whereas with other characters, it's much more like, this is their thing, and then that's all.
Yeah, no, literally every character was just like, all right, here's a character. We have two things about them. They're from this place and they do this. And that's it.
Yeah.
So and then we might get one other thing about them that's like kind of
that's a
twist.
Spin off of one of the two.
We get a little bit of extra information about Ron. We get a little extra information about
Ron Weasley.
Ron Weasley. About the cook. And Adrian. And
I think that was like intentional though, right?
Yeah.
It was so that the whole point of the movie is so you sit there and you go, well, are they telling the truth?
Yeah.
The entire time.
Yeah, but their whole point is to convince. And to convince, you want to... If they wanted to convince, they should have humanized themselves. And they don't. They just...
They had a whole scene where they had to humanize themselves.
Yeah, and it just... did you feel like you were attached to their character? Like, you really didn't want to see them, you know, die?
By the time... I feel like now we're giving things away.
No.
But I mean, I feel like by like a core, like halfway through the movie, I'd say, yeah, I started to like be like, no, like listen to them, you know, like, yeah. like stop making them go through with this.
Yeah.
I started to get with it. You know what I mean? I feel like the first one I was kind of like, all right.
I was like, oh, so that's what the movie is.
I was like, sick.
Okay, cool.
That's all what right. we're doing.
But I do agree. I think in the sense of like, if it were to be stretched out, that's what I would like to see that runtime used towards, is just like adding more to them. But there is yeah. this balance of like, how much can you give away for these characters while still trying to keep them anonymous and distant,
right?
While persuading such a human problem.
Right.
It was an impossible juggle that I think might not have been tackled perfectly in this right. movie. But I mean, what would you do to save the world? I guess that's the question of the movie. Anything else we have for what doesn't work?
M. Night Shyamalan directing it, but we'll get into it.
Yeah,
we'll
I was going to say, them. We can't say much without spoiling.
If you know a thing or two about...
But I think most of the movie is in spoilers for this one. So I think stick around, even if you haven't seen it. Because honestly, you could probably guess the movie.
You could probably guess the movie from the trailer. But especially from the first trailer, they showed too much in that. With a director as iconic as M. Night Shyamalan, there's some directorial choices that come accustomed to each director's name. Michael Bay, you get explosions. James Cameron, you get blue people. And then for M. Night Shyamalan, you get the M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Yes.
And we'll talk about the M. Night Shyamalan twist in spoilers. So if you want to hear all that, stick around. But first, let's jump into rating. What do we give this out of, Jackson? Thank you so much for the recommendation for this week's rating. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you give this out of 5? Knock at the cabins.
Mm.
5 knock at the cabins? Okay.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like
oh, that
DVD.
Knock that Dave Bautista did, by the way, great. So menacing. Knock. He knocked like 8 no. times and it was like, you were like, geez, dude.
But there was a door there, so it didn't sound
Have you seen that thing going around that's like, why do we raise our hand to knock? Why don't we just knock underhand? Like, what's the whole, like, is it like left over from like when we had those big door handle
Maybe.
Things that could, like, swing? Like, why don't you just walk up to the door and go underhand
you
knock?
You look like an idiot if you knock it underhand. Yeah, you look like you're
chill. Like, you're just like.
No, dude, no, the way you did that, it looked like you were trying to sell drugs. Yeah. You're like darting your eyes around. You're like, is anyone looking? Police officer. So what do we give this out of 5? Knock at the cabins. I think I can give this like a... I'd give this like a 3.5.
Yeah, I was going to go 3.2.
3.2?
Jesus, Jackson.
God damn.
It didn't kill your family.
I'll go 3.6 to be contrarian.
To be contrarian? Is that your new word?
You're 0.1 over, Dana. I don't know.
Whoa, different I would. So what's the average of that? 3.4?
Ish.
Ish. Yeah, so I just about a 70.
I wonder
like
what this movie
let's
has.
See what
actually.
We, let's do our famous.
Let's find out.
Are we with the critics this week or are we with the audience?
They're pretty similar. 68% for critics, 64% for audience.
Oh, I guess we just enjoyed the movie slightly
higher.
More than everyone else.
Yeah, that's.
They, not they me. Chose I'm Ron, pretty, I'm pretty with everyone else.
Ron Weasley.
Ron Weasley.
I love Ron Weasley.
Let's jump into spoilers. So the twist, of course, being.
There's
there is no twist.
Not a twist.
And to that statement, if it's someone else, yeah. But when you know that, it's not even cheating the audience. It's almost wasting the audience's suspense in terms of like, why are we shooting these so creepy?
Yeah.
What's going on? I think I saw a man. What? There's lines that now don't make sense and thus make the movie less enjoyable when you reveal that there is no twist.
Yeah.
Not only that, but they kind of spoon feed you like the explanation. Oh. They're like, I figured it out.
He's malice.
Four horsemen of the apocalypse. They embody the human nature, and then they flash back to all the things like, not only that, but they were like trying to figure out like why was our family picked. And then they just straight up say it. Your family's very pure, which we're like, yeah, you know, based on all the flashbacks that is, and like how much they love each other, that is a very pure family. Okay, I get it now. So just, it feels like we got nowhere with this movie or like there was nothing left for us to guess.
There was no brain power required to understand any of this movie.
Yeah,
but
that felt very shallow.
But it isn't written dumb. It's just like, by the time you're done, you're like, I don't need to watch this movie again because I got everything.
We were talking, the reason we couldn't guess the twist is because he didn't write this story in a way that left it available to be written like that. And that's a little disappointing because like, that's what he's known for.
It's his thing.
Like,
even if the twist is like, one of the dads was also one of the people on the messenger board. You go, oh, that adds something.
So you might think that this book is an older book from like the 60s or something.
When did it come out?
2018.
No way.
This book came, and guess, get this. This book came out in 2018, but the author signed an option with Film Nation Entertainment in late 2017 to make the movie.
Wow.
So they signed the option for the movie before the book even came out and had to keep the secret that the film was based on the novel until July 2022. So he had to wait 5 years to tell people that his book was becoming a movie. The differences in the book are not much until the end. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the whole exposition is all the same. They set it up. It starts to get a little different once people start dying. Redmond dies first. But then they prepare to sacrifice Adrian next. And then that's when Andrew escapes the cabin and gets his gun from the car.
Yeah.
He then kills Adrian. And then over a struggle with Leonard over the gun, Gwen is accidentally killed.
Oh my gosh.
So Leonard allows himself to be tied up by Eric and Andrew at this point because he's devastated that Gwen was even killed. But then he lets them know that Gwen's death has actually not stopped the apocalypse, obviously, because it wasn't a willing sacrifice. She was just killed. So Eric or Andrew must still die. They begin to wonder if it's true, yada, yada, yada. They still see the visions, everything like that. They're still like, is this pre-recorded newscast? Is this real? Leonard ends up dying third. And Sabrina is the last one left instead of Leonard. The couple follow Sabrina into the forest, taking Gwen's body. Sabrina covers the car keys and the gun that Redmond hid. They show them. Sabrina shows them where the car is. At this point, Sabrina's gave up the mission. She's like, I don't believe in it anymore. And then she commits suicide right before telling them, you have just minutes to prevent the apocalypse, just like in the movie. And then they argue that even if the apocalypse is real, they refuse to obey a god that does not accept Gwen's death as enough. They decide that neither wants to leave the other alone by dying. So they take the car and they decide to stay together through whatever comes. And I kind of like that ending better.
That ending's better. That's better.
The twist should have been Gwen getting shot.
That is
the twist right there. You had your twist in the book and you decided to make it worse.
I want
to
read this book.
Right? it sounds like a better story.
How do they do that? Because when you do like an adaptation of something like Bullet Train, like that book was very fun and they kept the same things of like, you don't get to know many details. Like Ladybug is still just that. And they keep the characters are just Tangerine Lemon. And they still made the book a fun adaptation and they made the movie and the book two separate yet very enjoyable things. Mm-hmm. I don't think I enjoyed Knock at the Cabin that much, but I feel like I would really enjoy that book.
It didn't feel like it was like based off of... It felt like it was based off of the book and then he went, I don't like the book anymore.
The twist is I'm changing the ending to be worse.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, I don't want to kill a small child in my movie.
I feel like most of the time...
But then it would have probably worked because that was the character... At least for me, that was the character I was most like hoping didn't die. Like,
yeah.
That would have been a shock to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like most book adaptations are either like really close adaptation or they kind of make it their own thing. Mm-hmm. This one is like he kind of tried to do halfway and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Kind of like Lyle Lowe.
Kind of
shut
like
up, Jackson. That was the best movie of last year.
No, but he's saying that the book adaptation took liberties.
You were literally the one who was like, this movie could have learned something from the book.
Yeah, you were the one who was defending the book.
Because the book was good.
Drawing the parallels. Every movie ties back to Lyle Lyle Crocodile.
Every
how
movie
it works.
Does. It's the new connection of five people. It's like you talk to five people, they'll know anyone in the world kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You're five people away from knowing Tom Brady.
You're five movies away from being Lyle Crocodile.
And I think that's all she wrote for Knock at the Cabin this week. Thank you all so much for listening to our review. Next week, we'll be going over all those hot dang Super Bowl trailers, as well as putting together our own super team of what we have seen based on everything that we've watched so far. So we're going to pick our best mascot, our best offensive line, a special team, and we won't go into much detail about why, but we'll pick our teams from there. And that is what we will have for our 99th episode. What? Get the confetti cannons ready. Take care, and we will see you next week. Touchdown.
Football.
Ooh!
That's football, not football, you idiot.
Man.